I think it's interesting to note that in the descendant line of Jesus Christ, we have at least five shepherds. There was first of all Abel and then Jacob. Following came Joseph, and then there was Moses. And of course then came David, and later came Jesus. Now, all of you know that Jesus was the son, at least Joseph was the one that took care of Jesus, and he was the son of Mary. But anyway, Jesus was known as a carpenter. But when Jesus himself identified his trade, he said, "I am the good shepherd." Now, I think Jesus did this because he wanted the people to identify him not with Joseph, but he wanted the people to identify him with God. Because in the Old Testament times, God claimed to be the shepherd of Israel. And the Jewish people were accustomed to identifying their God as being their shepherd. And this viewpoint goes all the way back to Jacob. For in Genesis 49:24, the Bible says, "The mighty God of Jacob is the shepherd of Israel." And this viewpoint continued in the minds of the Jewish people down through the ages. Even when we come to Psalms 80, verse 1, it says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that dwellest between the cherubims." Of course, that's referring to God in heaven. Even the prophets, Isaiah and Ezekiel, referred to God as being a shepherd. Look, if you will, at Isaiah 40:11. The Bible says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and shall carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those who are with young." And Ezekiel says, "As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture, and I am your God, saith the Lord." So you see, God desires to take the role of a shepherd. And according to Ezekiel, all men who call God their father need to look upon themselves as sheep. And this appears to be the main theme of the 23rd Psalm. Now, as I said in the beginning, no psalm is probably better known in the Old Testament than the 23rd Psalm. It has really been comforting news to all Christians down through the ages. It refreshes our mind, it soothes our spirit, it comforts our soul, and encourages us to go on because we know that there is a God who looks after us. But have you ever thought, really, what does the 23rd Psalm mean? Remember now, it was written by a shepherd. It uses shepherd terminology. It takes into account that whoever reads it needs to know a great deal about sheep. So there is a trade language involved in understanding the 23rd Psalm. Now, if you're like me, you know nothing about raising sheep or about being a shepherd. About the closest time I ever came to being a shepherd, or at least having anything to do with sheep, was at my first church. I had some members who lived on the outside of town and just raised a few sheep. Now, I would not call these people shepherds. But one day, while visiting them, it was feeding time, and they had a little lamb that was in a fenced area not too far from the back of the house. And they asked me, would I like to go out and help them feed the lamb? And I said, well, that'd be great. I never have done anything like that. I'm game. So they took a baby bottle and filled it full of milk and cut the end out of the nipple, and gave me the bottle and told me to put the bottle through the fence and the little lamb do the rest. So I said, well, this will probably take about 15 minutes. But by the time I stuck my hand through the fence with that bottle, that little old lamb grabbed the end of that nipple, and with about five or six gulps, that entire bottle was gone. And the little old lamb looked as though it said, well, where's the next bottle at? That's about the closest I've ever come to a sheep. And as far as knowing what to do with them, my knowledge was very limited. I'm one of these modern-day shepherds. I was born in the city and raised in the city, and I guess the modern-day shepherd would conduct his business something like this. He works out of the office building, and then he does all of his shepherding by phone. If his sheep get sick, well, he calls the vet. If his sheep are in danger, he calls the police. If his sheep seem to stray, he calls the fence company. If his sheep gets hungry, he calls the feed store. If his sheep get colds, he calls the carpenter and equips the barn with some gas. If his sheep get lost, he puts an ad in the want ad section. If his sheep get thirsty, well, he just calls the plumber and pipes him some water. But this is not the kind of shepherd that David had in mind when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. So we have a lot to learn as we look at this psalm together, because probably none of us have ever had any dealings with sheep or being a shepherd. The closest a lot of us have come into church is during Christmas time when we have a Christmas play, and little children are dressed up in a robe and given a coat hanger straightened out, wrapped in crepe paper for a staff, and that's about the nearest thing we know of as having sheep, and sometimes we use cardboard sheep at that. You wear a long robe and you have a beard and you walk around with your cane in your hand. Now again, remember, the 23rd Psalm was written by an experienced shepherd, because we read in 1 Samuel 17:34, "And David said to King Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep." I've often said, unless you are a shepherd, you will never really understand the 23rd Psalm. And so we're going to look at it through the eyes of a shepherd. And let's begin at the beginning in verse 1, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now quickly, David is saying, the Lord is the shepherd, and I am the sheep. And so let's keep that comparison in mind as we go through from week to week. The first lesson to learn about a sheep is that he is one of the most helpless animals that God ever created on the face of the earth. They require probably more attention and care and concern and supplies than any other class of livestock God made. Even the ant is better equipped to take care of himself than a sheep. When God came down to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and fellowship with Adam was established by God, I don't believe that God was just doing that to pass away some of the time of eternity, but God regarded Adam and Eve as still being sheep. Now, they were told to tend the garden and take care of the occupational activities in the garden, but God still sort of kept to himself, I'm going to have to tend Adam and Eve. That is, Adam and Eve needed looking after, and the world God made was looked after by Adam and Eve, but Adam and Eve could not look after themselves. They could look after everything else. And so in God's view, man, being like sheep, will always need a shepherd. In Jeremiah 23, 3 and 4, God says, I will gather my flock out of all the countries, and I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. There never seems to be a time in the life of God's people when they don't need a shepherd. They are never self-sufficient, they are never independent, and they can never sufficiently take care of themselves. And so therefore God says, I will always supply a shepherd for my people. So man, like a sheep, is helpless to solve the problems of life. And if you and I look around today and look at news broadcasts and read magazines and read the newspaper, it seems that man really needs a shepherd. He cannot take care of himself and make wise decisions, go in right directions, and come up with the right kind of solutions. And so therefore, most sheep that we run into as people are wanderers. They really wander from one place to another, not knowing whether or not they're making the right choice or not. They don't know where they are going. Life is very unpredictable. And so therefore, God says, man will always need a shepherd. Even spiritual man. Now, God wants us to depend upon him to be the shepherd. Now, most of the problems that we have today are man-made problems. If a sheep runs into trouble, it's basically his own doing and his own making. Now, man is not too happy with this idea that he is a sheep and God is the shepherd. Man looks upon himself as qualified and intelligent and well-versed in what ought to be done. Man prides himself on being the leader, and therefore he sometimes feels like he has the right to teach God what to do and disagree with God. Sometimes sheep get this attitude that they can run their own lives, but whenever problems result for sheep or man, it's because They have gone the wrong direction, desired to lead their own life, and have led it astray. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe you need a shepherd? Or have you been running your life on your own? Do you need somebody to lead you about? Or do you feel like, well, I can do my own leading? Do you ever need someone to protect you and advise you, to care for you? Or have you figured out a way to take care of all these needs on your own? You see, man does not really care to the idea of allowing God to be his shepherd. Man does not want a shepherd. Man does not want to take the role of a sheep. He's not quick to admit that he cannot manage his own life without the superior help of God. This is true whether or not it's regarding what you eat, or where you sleep, or where you live, or what other people you associate with, or what you ought to do, or what you should not do, or what's best, or what's bad. You see, we can't make up our minds, and yet we don't want anybody else informing us, like a shepherd, as to what the best route should be. So we want to regulate every facet of our life. Sometimes the common sentiment of all people towards letting somebody else lead their life is just the expression, bah. Not me, bah. I'll run my own life. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Really, you see, when a man allows God to be his shepherd, he's really saying, God can be the Lord of my life. Because man rebels against this idea of God being the shepherd, man really today is facing so many problems to which I feel he will never find any solution. Some are even saying now that man's problems are so great that there is no way out. Yes, there is, if man will just learn the role of a sheep and look towards God to be his shepherd. Now, there are many people today who are saying, let me be your shepherd. Every election time rolls around, you have folks get up and say, well, now here's my platform on how to control the sheep around the state or around the country or even around the world. And you'll elect me and I will lead all you people out of problems and chaos into a hillside of bliss and running water and enjoyment. Now, all you have to do to decide whether or not you want to accept a certain person as your shepherd is just check their credentials. Now, I believe if you're going to agree you need a shepherd, you ought to pick the best one possible. And therefore, there are a lot of candidates today who are claiming, let us be the one who will be the shepherd of your life. And so there is an endless stream from one generation, one age, one week, or one month to another. Now, David said there are at least three choices that you can pick from. Yourself, or someone else, or the Lord God. And so David said, as I consider these three choices, I can listen, say, to King Saul as my shepherd, or I can listen to my father as my shepherd, or I can listen to various other men I respect and admire as my shepherd, or I can depend solely upon myself and I can say, I'll be my shepherd, or I have a third option, I can make God my shepherd. And so David said, as a shepherd, I believe the best choice for me is to make God my shepherd. Now, Jesus, therefore, you see, identifies himself as being the good shepherd. Not just one of many shepherds that's good for you, but Jesus said, I am the only one that is a good, superior, perfect, ideal shepherd. Saying simply, I am the shepherd that David was talking about in the Old Testament. Now, what about the Lord's credentials? If you'll look at his credentials, then I will feel that you will agree with me, there's no other wise choice to make. For you want a wise shepherd. If you want somebody to tell you how to run your life and to lead you and guide you, well, then you ought to get the person who has the greatest amount of knowledge and wisdom. Now, if God has enough wisdom to create the earth and to keep it running in an orderly fashion, if God can do that, surely he has enough wisdom to control and run your life and mine. Secondly, you want a powerful shepherd. Now, we find the Bible says that God is able to do the impossible. God can do what no man can do. Now, if you want a shepherd who is powerful, then you're going to have to see God as the only candidate. And then the third thing, after a wise shepherd and a powerful shepherd, you need to have a loving shepherd. And that's very important, because the loving shepherd is going to care for you and use his wisdom and his power to love you and to bless you and to help you. As a loving shepherd, he'll not run off and leave you. He'll not cease to protect you. He'll be concerned about guiding you, concerned about providing for you. Because of love, you see, God's wisdom and power will be used for your blessing. And no one has as much love for you as a sheep as the one who owns you. And if your life belongs to Christ and you've made him your Lord, shepherd, and Savior, then no one will love you like Christ, because you are the property of Jesus Christ. Now, the record of God speaks clear for itself, that God is all these things that I mentioned. He is wise, he is powerful, and he is loving. And I feel like this, David would say, there is no other real wise choice for a natural man to make. Look at Exodus 15:11, and David would agree with this. Who is like thee, O Lord? O Lord, glorious in holiness and fearful in praises and doing wonders. Now, if you're going to have a shepherd, make it the Lord. Now, it stands to reason, if all people are created by God to be sheep, then no person is qualified to be the shepherd. The only one who has ever been qualified to be a shepherd is God. And God says all people are only qualified to be sheep. So don't pick a man to be your shepherd. Now, again, remember, God says man needs a shepherd. He needs one. Not just that he ought to have one, it would be a nice thing to have. It's not an accessory to the life of a Christian. We need a shepherd. Just like you need food for your body or water when you're thirsty, you need a shepherd. And then God says, I want to be that shepherd. If you'll just let me be your shepherd, I would like that arrangement. Now, there remains one more really important detail. If the Lord is your shepherd, then you are owned as his sheep. Now, it's important that a shepherd take care of his own sheep. Just like you don't go out and take care of somebody else's children down the street. They have a home for their own. God says you take care of your own children. And those children that live in your house ought to realize that they owe their livelihood, they owe their protection, they owe their home. Everything they have, they owe to the parents. And in a sense, the parents own those children. And so a parent says, this is my son, this is my daughter. And so the shepherd, you see, is a person who has the right to say, now, I own you as a sheep. What I own, I have a right to manage. And we need to get in our minds very clearly this aspect, that God, as a shepherd, has a right to own us. Now, what I'm saying is, God has a right to put a brand upon you, which is the mark of his ownership. Now, you don't brand sheep. That ruins their wool. But what you do is you take their ear and you mark their ears. Now, what did Jesus say about his sheep? He said, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. Therefore, the sheep that belong to Christ are identified by a marking in their ear, meaning simply, God's sheep are the ones you'll find willing to listen to Christ the shepherd. Are you marked in your ear? And we can go around wearing badges stuck on our fur saying, I'm a Christian, but that's not the point. Are you giving your ears attention? Are you willing to listen to the voice of the shepherd? Does he own your undivided allegiance? When he speaks, do you move? Now, that's the mark in the ear of the Christian. You might say the mark really gets there as a result of the new birth. That is, the heart of the Christian is changed. New control comes into his life, that is, through the Holy Spirit. And God begins to manage his life as the Lord of his life. Now, let me say this. The Lord will not be your shepherd unless you will consent to be his sheep. unless you will consent to allow him to come in and mark you in the new birth process, thereby making you willing to listen to what he has to say. If you turn your ears away from hearing the gospel, if you turn your ears away from hearing what Christ has to say to you, then that's a pretty good indication you never have been marked by the shepherd in your ears, and he would not be able to say, that over there is my sheep. If you don't belong to him outright by giving your life to him, if you don't belong to him, how can you call him your shepherd? I think the key is this statement, the Lord is what? My shepherd. I remember reading somewhere the story of a little boy who was having a very difficult time trying to memorize the 23rd Psalm. He had an old teacher that was trying to teach him the way to correctly read it so he could emphasize the right words and get the greatest meaning from it. The little boy would start out, the Lord's my shepherd. And the man would say, no, that's not right. Try it again. The little boy would start again, the Lord is my shepherd. And he said, no, you're not doing it right. You're saying the words right, but you're not emphasizing the right words. And so he told the little boy to take his hand and start with the little finger. And he would say, a little finger, this, and the next finger, is. And then he'd say, you grab that third finger real hard and say, my. The Lord is the fourth finger. Not the third, the fourth finger. The Lord is, and grab that fourth finger. When you get there, remember to say real strongly, my. And then go the thumb with the word shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So one day the little boy was out away from home, walking around the hillside, and he lived out in the country where there were some steep cliffs. One day the little boy, it was the wintertime now, and the snow had covered up many of these areas where you could tell where cliffs would drop off, and there were snow drifts. The little boy wandered away from home one day, and he wandered too far, and he fell off of one of these cliffs in the snowbank. He was missed, and after some time, the parents went looking for him, and the old man that had taught him the story of the 23rd Psalm. And finally, they found him at the bottom of a cliff. He had fallen through a hole that had been covered in snow. And when they got to him, they found the little boy had a hold of his finger next to the thumb. That didn't mean a great deal to the parents, but it did to the old man who taught him the lesson, because before the little boy died, he went through that same little procedure. The Lord is, and when he got to my, he held on. The Lord is my shepherd. God will not become your shepherd until you agree to become his sheep. I would call this the big giveaway. There is no better shepherd available today to you. And yet God will not force you to be a part of his sheepfold. He will not force you to be a sheep of his pasture. He is the best. And yet he says, if you'll come to me and you will allow me to own you and brand you, then I will take care of you as a shepherd should. And so I think this morning, if you have never really allowed Christ to brand you as his, all you have to do is just tell him, Jesus, I want to be your sheep. I want you to be my shepherd. And I'm willing to give my life away to you. I'm willing to take part in the big giveaway. If you'll give to me all the benefits of your life, which includes, of course, being the shepherd of my life, I want to be able to say, before I die, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you have that assurance this morning, the Lord is your shepherd? I hope you do.